So the Gemara on Daf Lamed Dalam and Beis said Vayalu Banega Vayavo Ad Chavron. So we have all the Agarata. Ooh, beautiful. Got a small group tonight, Howard. Welcome. No, no, definitely not. So in the middle of the Agarata, the discussion about the Meraglim and all of the various interesting stories that took place. So the Gemara darshins Vayalu Banega Vayavo Ad Chavron. So there's a problem internally with the pasuk. First it says Vayalu Banegev, Lashon plural, that they went to the south. Vayavo Ad Chavron, Lashon yachid, one individual went to Chevron. So that's what the Gemara asks, Vayavo mi boile. It should have said Vayavo, which is a Lashon plural, because we're talking about all the Meraglim. So says the Gemara, no. Amar Rava Malame Shapirish Kalev Mi'atzis Meraglim, Vahalach V'nishnateach Al Kibri Avos. What happened was Kalev separated from the rest of the Meraglim, and he went to the Kibri Avos, he went to the Maris Machpelah, and he Amar Lehen, and he said to the Avos who were buried there, Avosai, Bakshu Alai Rachamim, Sha'anatzel Mi'atzis Meraglim. Daven on my behalf that I should be saved from the conspiracies of the Meraglim. And then the Gemara goes on to say that the same thing, similar thing happened with Yoshua. Yoshua kfar bigish Moshe lav rachamim, that Moshe already davened on behalf of Yoshua, so therefore Yoshua didn't have to go to daven by the kever of the Avos. Kalev alone went to Chevron. So you see from this Gemara that Kalev went to the Maris Machpelah to daven, and at first glance, it seems like he was asking the Avos to daven to be Mevakish Rachamim on his behalf. So what we're going to discuss tonight is the concept, the topic of davening by Kvarim, and asking the deceased to daven on our behalf, and Malachim and things of the like. So this Gemara is obviously not the only instant in Shas where we have the idea of davening by a kever. There's a well-known Gemara in Maseches Tainis in Source 3. The Gemara there is talking about the different practices on the fast days that people would do. So one of them was that they would go to the Beis HaKfaris, right? So the Gemara asks, in Source 3, Tainis Daft HaZayin, the Gemara asks, Lama Yotz Nabes HaKfaros? So why on a fast day, on a public fast day, would the people go to the cemetery? So there are two opinions in the Gemara in Tainis. Pligi ba Rabbi Levi bar Chama of Rabbi Chanina. Chad amar hari anu chashuvin lefanecha kemesim. One says that the reason they would go to the cemetery on a fast day was because it was supposed to be ma'ora rachamim, that we're demonstrating that we are like mesim, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have mercy on us. V'chad amar k'dei sheyivakshu aleinu mesim rachamim. And the second opinion is so that the deceased daven on our behalf. So there are two opinions as to why the practice was to go to the cemetery on a public fast day. And the Gemara asks, "My benayu, what's the difference between the two reasons?" So the Gemara says, "Ikub benayu kibri nachrim." Whether it makes sense to go to a cemetery where non-Jews are buried. If you assume that the basis for the practice was so that we seem like we're dead and supposed to humble us, and Hashem will have mercy on us because of our humility, so then that would be accomplished even by going to a non-Jewish cemetery, because you see dead and it's humbling, so it would accomplish the same thing. However, if you assume that the purpose of going to the cemetery is so that the mesim are mevakish rachamim on our behalf, so then that wouldn't necessarily work if you go to a non-Jewish cemetery. Maybe for that, you need to go to a Jewish cemetery. That's what the Gemara says. So this idea is codified in Halacha in two places. One in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. In Source 4, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that some have the minhag to go to a cemetery on Rosh Hashanah to daven there. And also in Source 5, more well-known is the practice to go to a cemetery on Tisha B'Av, right after they finish kinos. So some people go to cemeteries and daven there on Tisha B'Av. Okay, so this Gemara is quoted lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch in two places. So what we're going to discuss tonight is two possible issues with the practice of going to a cemetery to daven and requesting the deceased to daven on our behalf. Again, we're not talking about davening to the deceased. Davening to the deceased, asking the deceased to do things on our behalf, except for davening to Hashem, is probably avodah zarah, right? Meaning asking the deceased to help. I don't intend to touch on any soft points or any controversial points. We're just going to focus on the sources here. But yes, how would I identify with your... Not yet.
Right.
So we're definitely not talking about davening to the deceased. What we're going to discuss tonight is davening by the deceased, by the kever, and potentially asking, requesting of the deceased to daven, to put in a good word for us with the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay, so what are the two possible issues? What are the two possible issues? So the first issue, potentially, is the concept of Doresh El Hamesa. In Parshas Shoftim, when the Torah describes all of the various types of kishuf, of sorcery, so there are five or six different types of sorcery that the Torah specifies. So one of them is the concept of Doresh El Hamesim. If you take a look in Source 6, the Pasuk says, V'chover chover v'shal o v'yadoni v'doresh el hamesim. Asking of the deceased. So what exactly is Doresh El Hamesim? It sounds like asking the Mesim to do things for you on your behalf is a form of sorcery that's prohibited by the Torah. So what exactly does that mean? So the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin in Source 7 elaborates upon what exactly Doresh El Hamesim is. So the Gemara says, if you take a look in Source 7, the Gemara says, Doresh El Hamesim kidesanya. V'Doresh El Hamesim. Zeha Mariv Atzmo, a person who starves himself. V'holech V'lon B'Veis HaKfaros. Kidei Shetishra Allah Ruach Toma. So apparently the practice was that people would starve themselves, they would sleep in the cemetery with the hope of drawing some spirits upon them, ruach tumah, some spirits of the dead. And Rashi explains over there in the Gemara, and it was with the hope that the mason would be able to give them some inside information. The person wanted to know, you know, what was going on me'achori hapargo. The person wanted to know, you know, what's going to happen in the future. So they would fast, sleep in the Beis HaKvaros, and hope to have some type of vision and some appearance of the deceased, and the deceased would tell them some information that they're looking for. That's the Gemara, and that's the Isser Doraisa of Doresh El Hamesim. Now, the Rambam says it's Lav Dafka, it's not limited to a person who fasts and sleeps in the Beis HaKvaros. It's any form of sorcery where the intended purpose is to communicate with the dead in order to get information that you desire. The Rambam says it's not limited to this. Now, the question that we have to ask is it only if you want to get information? What about if you want the mace to daven on your behalf, right? Let's say you do something where you want to communicate with the mace, you want to communicate with the deceased, but it's for the purpose of the deceased, the mace, davening on your behalf, asking Hashem to have mercy on you. Now, you're not asking the mace to do anything for you except for davening. You're not asking the mace to give you any special secret, top secret information. Are you allowed to ask the mace to daven on your behalf? So that seems to be a dispute amongst the Mefarsha. So we'll start with the Machmir opinion. So the Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, commenting on the practice of going to the cemetery after Kinos. So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Maharil, where the Maharil explains, if you take a look in Source 8, the Mishnah Brura is quoting the Maharil, and he says, why would people go to the Beis HaKfaros? The Beis HaKfaros, humaka menucha sa tzadikim, the Beis HaKfaros, the cemetery, is where the tzaddikim are buried. V'hatfila niskabla sham yoser, and tefila is heard, is accepted there. In a, it's the tefila is more likely to be accepted. Ach, Says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Ma'aril, Al Yosim Magamaso Negan HaMesim, a person should not direct the tefillah toward the mace at all. Rather, Ach Yivakesh Me'Hashem Yizbarach She'itein Olav Rachamim B'Schus HaTzadikim Shochni Ofa. Rather, what a person should do at the cemetery is daven to Hashem and hope that in the schus, the merit of the tzaddikim that are buried at the cemetery, your tefillah should be accepted. So now, the Mishnah Berurah says that when you go to the cemetery, there should be no communication, no direction towards the mason. The purpose of going to the cemetery is it's a makom where tefillah is accepted because of the merits of the tzaddikim that are buried there. So a person should have in mind that when he davens to Hashem, his tefillah should be more likely to be niskabel because of the merit of the tzaddikim that are in his presence. That is the explanation of the Mishnah Berurah and the Ma'aril. However, there are those who argue. On the other side of the page, in source 10, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Re'en, Rebbe Lazar Mimitz. Rebbe Lazar Mimitz was one of the great students of Rabbeinu Tam. He wrote the Sefer Re'en, which is a Sefer HaMitzvos, and he's quoted La Halacha all the time, Rebbe Lazar of Metz. So the Beis Yosef quotes the Re'en, who says that the prohibition of Dorish al-Mesim, and this is going to sound weird, so the prohibition of Dorish al-Mesim only applies if you are speaking to the body of the mace. Again, a warning, disclaimer, I don't know what this means, but we're just going to say the words. If you're speaking to the body of the mace, and you want the body of the mace to do something on your behalf, then the prohibition of Dorish al-Mesim kicks in. However, if you're speaking to the spirit, the ruach, the neshama of the mace, not to the body of the mace, then you're allowed to do that. And says the Beis Yosef, based on this Reim, therefore a person is allowed to ask the deceased, as long as you're speaking to their spirit, you're allowed to ask their spirit to daven on your behalf. And that would not fall under the prohibition of Dorish al-Mesim. Now, the Shach quotes the Levush, who says, what is this? What does it mean to ask of the body without the spirit? The body can't do anything without the spirit. So when you're talking to this to the body, you're talking to the spirit. When you're talking to the spirit, you're talking to the body. What is this differentiation between speaking to the body and speaking to the spirit? So that's Levush's question. The Shach says, oh, it's because Levush doesn't know Kabbalah. But if you were to know Kabbalah, you would know that there's a difference between speaking to the body, and the body may have the ability to do things without the spirit, and the spirit may have the ability to do things without the body. Okay, so I'm not going to get into that discussion, but it's important. It's an important chiluk because the Ramah quotes this in Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah paskins like this Re'em, that as long as the person has in mind that they're requesting the neshama, the spirit, to do things on their behalf. So a person, you know, goes to the kever and says to a parent, to a tzaddik, to a Talmud Chacham, please, spirit of this Talmud Chacham, neshama, daven on my behalf, put in a good word with Ribono Shalom for me. That would be permitted according to the Ramah. But it sounds like from the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Ma'aril, that wouldn't necessarily be permitted. So there seems to be chiluk deos. There seems to be a machlokas whether this falls under the prohibition of Dorish al Mesim. Exactly. So what Evan's pointing out is there are many Gemaras where, at first glance, it seems that they were communicating with the Mesim. Exactly. So that's the Re'im's proof. The Re'im quotes some of these Gemaras, and he says, you see from these Gemaras that there was communication with the Mesim. One of those Gemaras is the Gemara that we started with, the Gemara in Sota. The simple read of the Gemara was Kalev was communicating with the Avos and asking the Avos to daven on his behalf. So you see that Kalev was having direct communication with the Avos. It's not that he was utilizing the sanctity of the makom of the Maris Machpelah as a merit for his tefilos.
How did Mishnah Berurah read that?
So that's how he must read it. He must read that. It's not to be taken literally. Kalev was not actually communicating with the Avos. The Gemara is embellishing the story, but what actually happened was Kalev just went to the Maris Machpelah and was davening to Hashem. But the simple read of the Gemara is not that way. The simple read of the Gemara is that Kalev was actually asking the Avos to intercede on his behalf and to daven on his behalf. So, what was that?
The Mesh responds. We have Gemaras that we know they...
Correct, say. Correct. So we're not going to discuss so much those Gemaras, but the Reim does quote those Gemaras. We're in Brachos with Shmuel. Yeah, so for sure. So that's the way the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, seems to paskin in terms of communicating. And they're different. They're obviously different Minhagim in terms of what to do at a basic Kvaros. Should you follow the Mishnah Berurah and not direct anything to the Mace, or are you allowed to communicate with the mace and ask the mace to daven your behalf? But again, this does not mean davening to the mace. The most one can do, according to the Ramah, is ask the mace to intercede on his behalf, and that would not fall under the prohibition of Dar Shalom Mason. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure. So, maybe not everyone's able to do this, but yeah, it is a thin line.
And just because it's
but there's a line nonetheless.
And there's two things. One, it's a mutter. So you say it's mutter. Like Hashkavi said, but why is that better than Dabbing Hashbarak? Why better than Dabbing to Mace to ask God? Why ask on your behalf and just Dabbing Hashbarak directly?
Oh, okay. So, excellent. So, so because of Evan's points, let's segue to the second possible prohibition, and that is the famous fifth ikar of the Rambam. We know that in the Rambam's Perish Mishnayis, his commentary in the Mishnah, so his comments to Masechta Sanhedrin, at the beginning of Perek Chelek, the Rambam has his famous 13 principles of faith, the Yud Gimel Yikar, where the Rambam lays down the 13 beliefs that every Jew has to have if he wants to be part of the Jewish people. So the fifth one is the idea of directing our tefillos only to Hashem. So take a look in source 11. The Rambam writes, Hayesod HaChamishi Shehu Yis'aleh Hu Asher Roy La'Avdo U'Laramo L'Farsim Gedulaso U'Mashma Oso. Says the Rambam, the fifth fundamental principle of faith is that we should only direct our tefillos, we should only worship Hashem. Ve'ein osin kein l'mash l'mata mimenu. We don't do that to any being that's below Hashem. The Metzius min ha'malachim v'ha'kochavim v'ha'gagalim, to whether it be the angels or the stars or the different celestial beings or the different yesodos of the world. Lafisha kulam mudboim bepula sehem ein lahem shilton v'lo bechira elu ritzoni yisela, because they don't have any free will. They only act based on the ratzon of Hashem, and therefore it doesn't make sense to direct one's tefillah or avoda towards them. One should only direct tefillah or avoda, worship, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ve'ein osin osam emtsoim lahagia behem elav. And we don't use these malachim, or different celestial beings, as mediums to intercede on our behalf, right? The Rambam actually says in the beginning of Hilchas Avodah Zarah that was how Avodah Zarah started. How did Avodah Zarah start? Hashem created the world, and Adam Rishon was in direct communication with Hashem. So how did Avodah Zarah start? So the Rambam says that it was a slow, gradual process, but it started with people serving the different angels and celestial beings as mediums, as emtsoim, to intercede on their behalf to Hashem. They figured, oh, Hashem created the sun. So the sun's probably, Hashem would be happy for us to worship the sun. Hashem created the malachim. Hashem would be happy for us to worship the malachim. And then it kind of became divorced of Hashem, and people focused on their different avodah zaras. So says the Rambam, it's a very slippery slope, and a person should not use these malachim as mediums to reach Hashem. Rather, you have to direct ela klapav yisala directly to Hashem, only Hashem. So now the question is davening to malachim or davening to the deceased a problem of this fifth principle of the Rambam? What was it? Excellent. Exactly. So where does the Rambam get this from? So just important to be aware, the Rambam didn't make this up, obviously. This Rambam is probably sourced in the Talmud Yerushalmi in source 12, where the Yerushalmi says that we are different than malachim in the sense that we have the tremendous schus of being able to communicate directly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we don't need any intermediaries, we don't need any mediums, we can go directly to Hashem. We don't need any emsoim. That's what an intermediary is. And therefore, when a person davens, they shouldn't daven to Michal, Gavriel. Rather, scream out, cry to Hashem directly. So that's probably one of the sources of the Rambam. Oh, so the Maharal...
Interesting thing, this week's David also said that if you're by your if you're by yourself, you can't daven Lashon Aramis because the angels understand Aramis. Like,
oh, excellent.
Who cares?
Excellent. So there it could be you're not talking to the Malachim. There may be some, you know, the Malachim may be able to help, but you should never ask the Malachim to help you.
So we don't need we don't pray to the intermediary, but there is an intermediary that takes our prayers up.
There could be some help. There could be some assistance in terms of the tefillah, but you should never direct your tefillah towards the intermediary. So the Maharal was dealing with the following problem. There are many who say in Slichos, certain piyutim, which at first glance seem to be directed towards the Malachim, right? The famous one is Machnisei Rachamim, which became a famous, MBD made it into a famous piyut. But Machnisei Rachamim, Yachnisu Rachamecha, right? So at first glance, we're asking the Malachim to intercede, to act as intermediaries on our behalf, to be Machnis the Tefillah to the Ribono Shalom. So the Maharal in his Sefer Nesiv HaAvoda was bothered. He doesn't quote the Rambam, but he's assuming the same problem. Isn't that utilizing the Malachim as intermediaries, as a medium to daven or to help our tefillah? Isn't that a problem? So if you take a look in Source 13, says the Maharal, Aval anu nohagim lomar machnisei rachamim hachnisu rachameinu lefnei bal harachamim. Our minog is that we say, many say, the piyut of machnisei rachamim at the end of slichos. Ve'ein zeh roi, says the Maharal. This is not proper. Why? Ki davar zeh ki ilu mispalel el malachim sheyachnisu rachameinu v'lo matzanu zeh. It sounds like what we're doing is we're davening to the malachim and asking the malachim to intercede on our behalf and to take our tefillos to the Ribono Shalom. And we don't find such a concept. Skipping a few lines, he says, don't skip a few lines. Just continue reading. V'hadar min Maseches Tainis asks the Maharal, you'll tell me, what do you mean? We just spoke about the idea of asking the deceased to daven our behalf. So why isn't that a problem? The Maharal asks. What's the difference between, he's assuming that it's okay to ask the deceased to daven on your behalf? Why isn't that a problem of using an intermediary?
It's the fine line that you're talking about.
That's one of the fine lines. So asks the Maharal, what's the difference between using a relative or a tzaddik who is deceased as an intermediary versus a malach? So it says this is going to be very vague, so we're going to have to try to figure out exactly what the Maharal means. So it says the Maharal, V'hadar min b'mzechas tainis shekasher gazur tainis hayyotzim l'vesek faros k'dei sheyispalo leinu ameisim rachamim. The Gemara in Tainis, which the Shulchan Aruch quotes, says that the practice was on the public fast day, they would go out to the Besek Faros so that the meisim daven on our behalf. Says the Maharal, Ein ze she'anu mevakshim in ha-meisim sheyispalo leinu. What we're doing there is we're not asking the mason to daven on our behalf. Rak she'anu holchem lebeis hakvaros umischabrim lemason. What happens there is we go to the beis hakvaros, we go to the cemetery, and we connect with the mason. Shegam hamason yischabru lechayim biyvakshu rachamim al Yisrael. Whoa. So the Maharal's first point is what's happening there is that we're not asking the mason to daven on our behalf. What's happening is, by us davening at the base of Kfaros, the Mesim on their own, somehow they have Bechira, on their own decide to daven on our behalf. When the Mesim sense the presence of Jews, fellow Jews, davening in the cemetery, they, in return, daven and intercede on behalf of the Mispalim. Why? Why would they do such a thing? So the Maharal is something very cryptic. Kamesim gam ken Yisrael, v'heim ohavim Yisrael, umevakshim rachamim al Yisrael. Says the Maharal, because the Mesim are also Jews, and they are Jew lovers, they love fellow Jews, they have avas Yisrael, And because of that Avas Yisrael, they feel an achrayus, a responsibility to intercede on behalf of those who are being mispalel by their kever. However, says the Maharal, when it comes to Malachim, aval lomar lamalachim hachnisu rachamenu ein zeroy. But to ask Malachim to intercede on our behalf, that is improper. So, very unclear. What does the Maharal mean? That when it comes to Mesim, they love Jews and they decide to daven on our behalf, whereas Malachim, it's improper. What exactly is the Maharal getting at? So, two potential explanations in the Maharal. One is from Chassam Sofer, and the other is from Rav Tursky. So, I'll say over... What time is it? We have time? Oh, plenty of time. Okay, so I'll say over the Chassam Sofer first, and then we'll say over Rav Tursky's Pshat. So, the Chassam Sofer says as follows, and it's not exact in the words of the Maharal, but... Nevertheless, we'll say over what the Chassam Sofer says. Says the Chassam Sofer. All of Klal Yisrael are connected. Kol Yisrael are Reivim Zelazah. So, since that's the case, in an ideal world, when one Jew is in pain, or one Jew is in need of something, another Jew should feel that achrayus, right? That's the idea of nosei. There are many psukim, many mamari chazal, which speak to the idea that all the Jewish people are responsible for one another. That being the case, I have every right to go over to Stefan and say, Stefan, can you please, I have this difficulty in my life, would you mind davening on my behalf? Says the Chassam Sofer, that's not a problem of me using Stefan as an intermediary. Why? Why is it not a problem of using Stefan as an intermediary? Shouldn't I just go directly to Hashem? So says the Chassam Sofer, no. Since all the Jewish people are responsible for each other, when I ask Stefan to daven on my behalf, he's really davening on his behalf. Because in an ideal world, what he should feel is a sense of pain and urgency that my needs should be taken care of. So when he's davening for me, on a certain level, he's really davening on his behalf. And therefore, Stefan is not an intermediary, he's not a medium, he's not interceding on my behalf. He's really davening for himself as well. So says the Chassam Sofer, that's the practice of going to a tzaddik. Some people go to a tzaddik or a Talmud Chacham, that they should daven on their behalf. What's that idea? It's the same thing. You're not using the tzaddik, you're not using the rabbi, you're not using the friend as an intermediary. The tzaddik, the rabbi, the friend, is supposed to take that pain, experience it, and then daven with that anguish, with that pain, on behalf of himself now. So the Chassam Sofer says a mashal. He says that you have the ability to approach the king. So, obviously, you're going to send your best messenger. You know, you're going to use the person who's able to articulate the message in order to get to the word to the king. You're going to use your best ammunition. So too, when it comes to this, let's say for whatever reason you can't articulate your tefillah to the Ribono Shalom. So there's no problem, says the Chassam Sofer, of going to your friend, going to the rabbi, and asking them to daven your behalf, because you're not using them as an intermediary. Just they're davening on their behalf now, because on a certain level, they're experiencing that tsar as well. So says the Chassam Sofer, that's how it is with Mesim as well. When it comes to Mesim, it's like davening it's like asking a tzaddik, asking a friend to daven on your behalf. The mace is an ohev Yisrael, like Maral says, and the mace experiences the tsa'ar of another Jew. Therefore, when you ask the mace to intercede on your behalf, on a certain level, the mace is not being your emtsoi, is not being your intermediary. Rather, the mace is davening to the Ribono Shalom on his or her own behalf. However, when it comes to a malach, a malach is not an ohev Yisrael. The malach does not experience the tsa'ar of another Jew. So therefore, if one were to approach a malach or say, machnisei rachamim, what they're doing, in effect, is using the malach as an intermediary. Because the malach, when he now goes, or it goes, to Hashem, to Davin, it's not on behalf of himself, it's completely on behalf of the Jew, and the Malach does not experience that Tsar, is not an Ohev Yisrael in that way. That is the explanation of the Chasam Sofer to explain what the Maharal is saying in terms of being Mechalik, differentiating between asking Malachim to intercede, and the problems with Machnisei Rachamim and the like, versus asking a friend who's alive, or even asking a tzaddik who is deceased to intercede on one's behalf. That is the explanation of the Chasam Sofer. Rav Tversky explained a little differently. He said that the Chasam Sofer, the Maharal, is differentiating between Malachim and Mesim in the following way. The Rambam in the fifth Iker noted that it's improper to daven to Malachim and to celestial beings, kochavim, etc. Why? Because they're not bali bechira. They don't have free will. So therefore, it doesn't make any sense to direct one's tefillah to the malach, because the malach is not a bali bechira. The implication is that to ask a bali bechira, someone who has free will, to intercede on your behalf through the Ribono Shel Olam is mutter. Why is that? So similar to the Chasam Sofer, but the idea is that if you were to go to a malach and ask the malach to intercede on your behalf, then what you're doing is you're asking the malach to be an intermediary. Why? Because the malach is not making an active decision, a cognitive decision to now, oh, I'm going to decide now to daven on behalf of the Jew. So what you're doing is you're just kind of, instead of going directly to Hashem, you're going through the malach. However, if a person were to go to a friend, or a rav, or a tzaddik, or even to a mace on a certain level, since all of these people have bechira, now their choice to go ahead and intercede on your behalf, right, that's true, but on a certain level, on a certain level, the mace does have bechira, the nefesh does have bechira, the mace can't do mitzvos, but the mace can decide whether to daven or not daven on your behalf. That's what
the whole thing is. It's too esoteric.
It's too esoteric for you.
How does a rationalist how would the postman know? How did the postman, you have to believe that the postman have
what do you mean the post? Which postman? What do you mean?
You can't do this. It's like it doesn't work like this. It works like nobody knows how prayers work. You know, that's why I always.
True, but it's coming from, you mean Chazal. We're trying to interpret Chazal. So Chazal, we believe, have traditions, right? And traditions that go way back to sometimes to Har Sinai.
Yeah.
And other times we do believe that Chazal have a certain level of Ruach HaKodesh where they're able to understand the efficacy of tefillah, what works and what doesn't work, right? The Anshei Knesset HaGadolah was made up of Nevi'im who understood the Koach HaTefillah. That's how they were able to establish a Nusach of...
When they say, your prayers are accepted more in a shul, how do they know which prayers are accepted? They just...
So
they're not God, they don't know...
No, but we believe Chazal had a certain level of Ruach HaKodesh and traditions that go back to Har Sinai that give them the
you have to believe, right. Like, you have to believe that Chazal have Ruach HaKodesh, basically. There's no rational way to say it. There's no, like...
For sure.
But it comes like any regular studio, right? Like, they're using... They're using... When it comes to this realm of halacha, it's like there's something supernatural going on.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. For sure.
Given the dangers inherent in this practice, davening in a sense has nothing to do with the mace. You're davening to Hashem, and you just happen to be in the presence of Hashem.
For sure. So that's what we quoted earlier, the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah and the Maharil, who seem to understand the idea of davening as a basic farce has nothing to do with the mace. At most, it's the merits of the mace should help the efficacy of the tefillah, like what Howard is saying. And Howard is a big misnagid, obviously. And the practice of the misnagdim for the most part, the Vilna Gaon and the like, was to not really go to basic forest at all. They would never really go to cemeteries. Part of the reason is because, as like you're saying, a fence, a siyag, that it's a slippery slope, and we believe in the Rambam and the Yerushalmi that we don't need intermediaries, we don't need any mediums, we can go directly to Hashem. But, you know, obviously there are different...
I said you're there also.
Steph, you're not alone. You're definitely not alone.
And what are people doing there? Like, what are people doing? Any cars? What are people doing there? Just saying the part of Tehillim, the part of Tehillim, asking what they're doing there. And I can say, oh, I'm saying Tehillim, Kadosh Baruch Hu, with the hope that the Mage will pass along faster.
So you're saying what you agree with Howard?
Yeah, because what people are saying.
Now it's a Schlitz thing, though. Like, you're a rich guy, and you're like, that's how you spend your wealth. You go on fancy trips to Kabbalah.
For sure.
That is the thing. That is
Shiloh. Or Shiloh Paris.
That's like, oh, you want to know how you're rich? Which cavern do you go to this winter?
What? This is going to be NYU Tower House.
What about Kabbalah, right? What about Kabbalah, or someone saying Tehillim, Kabbalah, crying tears and Tehillim? Say, what are you doing? I'm saying to him, to Rachel. Like, that's what you're doing.
Right.
You're asking Rachel to pass like to tell him to Kosher Baruch, but not.
No, but the chef can have like a thing, like he was on the podcast, the Kosher Money podcast, talking about, like, you know, like your culture. He's like, this is the one thing I'll get rid of. This is the first thing.
Right.
Going to the farm.
Right, right. So it's definitely become a culture, and it's become a sign of, yes, for sure, I'm asking. But there is definitely a tradition, and this practice, this minhag, goes way back. Even, you know, Kalev and Yirmiyahu, we know Davin at the Avos. So it's important to just understand exactly what the nature of this practice is and the potential issues that may arise when following this practice. We discussed two of them, Dorish al-Hamesim and the fifth Iker of the Rambam. Okay, Shkai.